Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is the Action Network Podcast.
And this one is good.
Ready, ready.
All right, here we go.
From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch.
They're saying it's a catch. Touchdown.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money. All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
Welcome to the Action Network Podcast. I am Brandon Anderson, joined as always by Raheem Palmer. And folks, we finally made it to week one. The Dallas Cowboys played the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Thursday night. We've got a full slate of 14 games on Sunday. Raheem, we are back.
We are. I mean, it's been a long off season. We got a number of teams where we feel like we can win the Super Bowl this year. It's just, we got fans in the stadium this year. I mean, we didn't really have that too much last season. So, I mean, it's going to be a good, great NFL season. I'm excited. So hopefully we make some money.
There's no hoping about it. We're going to make some money. We're going to get some good picks. Today, for this special Labor Day weekend episode, we're on a Tuesday today. We'll be coming at you Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all season long. Today, we're going to hit the important news and the line movements heading into week one. And then we're actually going to introduce a couple of our segments that Raheem and I will be doing all season long, including something we don't think you're going to find anywhere else. So before we get started, just a quick reminder, everything else that you can find the last couple of weeks, if you are cramming for the season, right here on the Action Network Podcast. We've got 4 hours of win totals from Stucky, Raybon, and Kerner. Got a couple hours of a full 32 team preview from Raheem and me. There's awards, there's season leaders, everything you need on there. So make sure to check that out. As always, our odds today are from BetMGM, the official odds provider of the Action Network Podcast. So let's jump into some week one talk. One of the things that everyone is definitely going to be talking about this week are those three starting rookie quarterbacks. So Raheem, we've got Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, favored in Houston. We got Zach Wilson and the Jets, underdogs in Carolina, and Mac Jones and the Patriots, favored at home against Miami. Which one of those rookies do you think is most likely to win this first game?
Just by nature of the odds, I think you have to go with the Jaguars. I mean, they are favorites on the road against a bad Texans team that's had a lot of turmoil. So I think that's the obvious choice. I'm not going to lie to you. I think the Jets are live dogs this weekend. I don't know if you guys heard the news, but the Panthers placed their starting right guard, John Miller, on the reserve COVID-19 list. I think that's a big loss for them. And I'm a believer in this Jets offense. I think Zach Wilson has a great chance of the Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's going to go out there and tear it up. So I'm a big fan. We're going to touch on that a little bit more later. But, I mean, I think you got to go with the Jaguars here.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like all three of these guys have a legit chance to win. Like, I wonder if, you know, I'd love to see a book put up, a rookie parlay, and get all three of these guys together and give you a chance. I actually think if I had to pick one, I might go with Mac Jones just because I know Miami is the toughest opponent, but I'd rather have New England's roster behind me. I'd rather have Belichick behind me. He's the one starter that gets to open at home, which I think is a big deal for a rookie. He's looked great in the preseason. I think New England will be in a good spot for that one. I like Zach Wilson too, though. I think Lawrence is maybe the one I'm a little most afraid of just because of Urban Meyer is new and the supporting cast and everything, but I'm excited to see these guys. Two rookies that we probably won't see, at least not much of this week, are the other two first round quarterbacks, Trey Lance and Justin Fields. So let me ask you this: week one snaps for Lance and Fields, Trey Lance -2.5 versus Justin Fields. Do you think either one of these guys sees the field? What do you think there?
I think if it's anybody, it's Trey Lance, just because Kyle Shanahan, he's so creative in terms of putting together plays that it wouldn't surprise me if we saw him, you know, come in for, you know, a QB sneak or, you know, a run or something like that. But I just think the Bears are just in such a bad way with their offensive line. I don't think they want to throw Justin Fields to the fire. I think Andy Dalton's going to come in. He's going to lose a couple games. And I think they're almost going to have to be forced to make the change. So I don't see Justin Fields taking the field in this first game.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be too shocked to come away with just no snaps for either one of these guys. I think Fields is not going to be a guy that will come in and play a snap here or there like Trey Lance probably would. But with Lance being out with that finger injury, I don't know if he's going to see that much either. The one thing that wouldn't totally shock me, just because I don't really trust what the Bears are doing, is I just feel like there's definitely a scenario where Andy Dalton comes out on Sunday Night Football, throws a couple of first half interceptions against the Rams. Aaron Donald's all up in his grill. Jalen Ramsey picks him off, and Matt Nagy just panics. And at halftime, just dumps Dalton and turns this over to Fields, and off we go. And that's the end of Andy Dalton. I feel like we've seen that before. This looks like a prime spot for that, where I don't know why Andy Dalton is starting other than just to buy a little time. I don't know what he did to win the job there. So I'm not sure. I think we're going to see certainly Fields as the starter sooner than Lance, but I'm not sure we'll get either of them very much in week one. So other than those rookies, what are you just most excited to watch in week one? Is there a game or a player or something that caught your eye?
I mean, there's a number of different things that I'm excited about. I mean, first things first, we got fans in the stadium. I mean, we know home field advantage has been decreasing every year since 2006. Since 2016, it's really been noticeable. I mean, I've seen it go from like pretty much 3 points to almost a half a point. So I'm interested to see if the fans in the stadium is really going to have an impact. I'm also interested in seeing how the officiating is going to impact things. I mean, last year, offensive holding penalties were down last season. We saw 462 called in 2020, an average of 1.8 a game, compared to 724 in 2019 and 708 in 2008. And I think that's a big thing towards over-unders. We're here to make money. We're here to bet. So if they're not calling offensive holding penalties, I mean, you guys watched the Super Bowl between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. I think one of the reasons why the Chiefs won that Super Bowl is because they just didn't call the holding penalties that were there. So I'm excited about seeing that. I'm excited to see Zach Wilson and the Jets offense, the Vikings revamped defense. Can Sam Darnold actually have a resurgence in Carolina? What is Sean Payton going to do with Jameis Winston? I mean, I know this guy's got LASIK surgery. So, I mean, hopefully we don't see another 30 interception season again, but I think he should be improved. Like, I just think there's so many storylines to be excited about. How about you?
Yeah, I'm excited for the storylines. The other thing that I forgot about that was happening until he was on a podcast the other day, we get Peyton Manning back in our lives on Monday night, not every week, but we're getting that alternate broadcast, Peyton Manning and baby bro Elisha in the booth. Well, not even in the booth. I think they're like doing a Zoom recording or something, but we get Peyton and Eli breaking down Monday Night Football for us. So I'm excited for that just to try something new. Maybe we'll get a little Tony Romo effect there, get some good insights on the game. I think the Browns Chiefs game is just a huge, huge week one game. I think Cleveland matches up well. Although I always think that about Baltimore with Kansas City as well, and it's never worked out for me. But I think that's one that is going to have seeding implications and looks like a future playoff game. So I'm looking forward to that, I think. And then I think just to Thursday night, the first game, the Super Bowl champs, Dak Prescott back on the field. So let's talk about that one. Let's hit a few of the big line moves. So Dallas is in Tampa Bay to start the season. We know the champs always get to host the first one on Thursday night. And right now, that line is up to Tampa by 7.5, and that has crossed that key number of 7. It opened closer to 6.5, and that number looks like it's still rising a little bit. So, Raheem, I know you're good at watching the line movement. What do you make of the line move, and what's happening with this game?
I mean, first things first, Zach Martin is out. He got placed on the COVID-19 reserve list, and that's a big loss for the offensive line. I do think the Cowboys' offensive line should be solid. Lael Collins, he has a stinger. I mean, he's supposed to play, but those injuries are notorious for flaring up and, you know, them having problems. And then, I mean, you have the Super Bowl champions at home against, you know, a Cowboys team in which Dak hasn't played like since week five of last year. You know, he had the leg injury. Then he's out all training camp with a shoulder injury. So we just don't know what we're going to get from him. And, I mean, you're missing your best guy on the offensive line, Zach Martin. It's a problem. But I also think, you know, one of the things you're seeing is that you're gonna have some teaser protection here. The Bucs minus 6.5, 7.5 is going to be in every single Stanford Wong teaser. And I think you're going to see it rise because, I mean, you kind of want to – you would the books want to have some teaser protection on there, but also the public's going to be all over the Bucs. Circa, as I mean, just as you said something about the line movement, Circa just went from 7.5 to 8. So, I mean, at exactly at around 5:15 as recording this podcast, they literally just moved. So I think you're going to see that move. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw this thing hit 8.5, 9.
So I don't do a lot of teasers. So tell me a little bit more about that. When you say that we're going to get some teaser protection in there, what sort of number are the books hoping to get this to give themselves a little edge there? Is that the 9 they're looking for?
I mean, you're not going to have it move too far because I think at some point you're going to have wise guys step in and you don't want to leave yourself open to towards a middle. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I think that's a bad thing. But I think, you know, on some of these higher spreads, if you look at San Francisco versus the Lions, or you look at the Rams versus the Bears, a lot of times you want to get that to, you know, 9.5, 10. Because at some point, it's just you can't really tease down and get it through a field goal.
Yeah, that makes
sense. 6 points. So it's just like you start to see that teaser protection on some of these bigger spreads. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the rules, but Stanford Wong, he wrote a book in 2009 called Sharp Sports Betting. And it talks about how you tease certain teams. So you're looking for home favorites of 7.5 down to 2.5. You're looking for road favorites of 1 to 3. You want to tease that up. And you're looking for totals under 49. So it's just basic rules on how you tease and get positive expected value.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think too, the Zach Martin injury, the Lyle Collins thing, the thing that it's reminding me of just a little bit is heading into that Super Bowl last year when we had this explosive offense with all their weapons. And I was like, hey, you know, though, be careful. The Chiefs do have some of these injuries on their offensive line. You know, that is a thing to watch for. And suddenly the game started and that was the only story to watch for. That line didn't hold up and Mahomes wasn't Mahomes when he didn't have the line protecting him. And it's just like, now here's the season, you know, the whole, whatever, 7-8 months later. And we're right back to, well, that Dallas offense is pretty good, but careful with that line. They might be missing a couple key guys there.
I think the one thing we have to stress is that this Cowboys line, even with the absence of Zach Martin, it's not going to be nearly as bad as what we saw from Kansas City. I mean, I think they were a total mess. So it's like, even though they're going to be taking a step back, it's not going to be Dak Prescott unable to operate.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely not the same, but it is dangerous against Tampa with all their pass rushers. All right, let's move on to the one that I think has moved the most so far. So we got Seattle visiting Indianapolis. And boy, these Colts are impossible to get a handle on. So way back when we first got lines, the Colts opened as 2.5-point favorites. Seattle is now 2.5-point favorites. So that's a 5-point swing. Carson Wentz is injured. Carson Wentz is back. Carson Wentz is in COVID protocol and back again. We've got injuries to the left tackle, the left guard, the center. They're all back again. Or not the left tackle, but Quentin Nelson is supposed to be playing. Ryan Kelly is back. What is happening with this and how significant is it that that line moved 5 whole points on this?
I mean, I think it's a very significant move. Carson Wentz, he's had more turnovers than just about anybody in the NFL the last couple of seasons. He's unvaccinated, so he's missed the majority of practice. I mean, he had that foot injury, so that's a big part of why the line move happened. But I think you're seeing being pushed further because the offensive line is a mess. Anthony Costanzo retired. Like you mentioned, Eric Fisher is coming off this Achilles injury. He might not play until October. You already mentioned Quentin Nelson. I just think they're really in a bad way in general. And the Colts, I mean, they're starting the season against the Seahawks, the Rams, the Titans, the Dolphins, the Ravens. I mean, this is the team that realistically could start 0-5. So I just think the market is really down on them for good reason. And then you're playing a top five quarterback and Russell Wilson, he has weapons around him. So it's hard to, you know, when this line opened at 2.5, it's kind of hard to suggest taking it at 2.5, but it's hard not to see value in it based on the way their preseason has gone. So,
yeah, the thing with Seattle, too, is we know what happens with the Seahawks. They just play, you know, they play around, they play with their food and wait till there's like 10 minutes left and it's tied. And then like, okay, Russell Wilson, go win the game now. And I just got to say, like, Carson Wentz is my guy, but if it's a close game late in this one, I don't really care if it's in Indianapolis or not. If it's close late, I want Russell Wilson, not the guy on a new team that hasn't practiced, that hasn't had time to get some chemistry with his line, with his receivers. I want Russ out there. And if you want Russ, you only have to win by a field goal. And that's kind of what Seattle tends to do. They pull out all these close wins. So that one is definitely tempting. Another one that has moved quite literally is Green Bay and New Orleans. This is a home game for New Orleans, but it is no longer a home game at the Superdome because of the hurricane. This game has moved to Jacksonville. So this line, depending on where you look, at BetMGM, it's -3 right now, but I'm seeing it at 4, 4.5 at some books. It was 2.5 for Green Bay, and it's just kind of slowly creeping up. So you talked a little bit about home field. What do you make of the home field change on this one?
I think the market is accurately pricing this. I mean, when I look at home field advantage, I mean, in 2020, I had it at 0.5, pretty much a half a point. But when I separate for each stadium, and I'm looking at the Superdome over the last 10 seasons, I have home field advantage for the Saints at about 2 points. So I think the move from 2.5 to 4 is pretty accurate. There were some 4.5s in the market. I think this is the accurate line move. I mean, the Saints are just dealing with so much. They lost some pieces on defense. Trey Henderson, he left for free agency. Cam Jordan's getting older. They're highly reliant on Malcolm Jenkins. Marshawn Lattimore, he had a spark when he started, but I don't want to say he's garbage, but he's not what we thought he was going to be after his rookie season. And they're playing a prolific Packers offense that just was dominant. Appears to be the last dance for Aaron Rodgers. So I think this line is accurately priced. I don't really see edge, you know, based on the numbers, but it's tough not to see New Orleans in a tough way. I mean, no Michael Thomas. They're relying on, you know, younger guys. We'll see what happens with Jameis. It's going to be an interesting game.
So let me ask you this about your model with the home field advantage. So you said you've got it from last season. It's only worth about a half a point in there. Now, how much do you think that the pandemic factors are weighing in on that? And, you know, the changed crowds and just a lot of those things. Is home field just dwindling? Like, a half a point is almost nothing. I feel like traditionally we're almost expecting, you know, we're expecting books to price in 2 or 3 points on this. So is the half a point thing just because home field is not worth much anymore, or is the pandemic playing a role in there?
I think home field is just not worth much at all. I mean, there was a lot more home cooking previously, and I think, you know, officiating has gotten away from that in all sports. I think the traveling has gotten better. Like, in every single sport, you're seeing it. So it's just, it's not even something that I'm truly pricing in. If you go to Denver, you have to price that in, obviously, because there's some altitude issues and things like that. And then I like to look at, I mean, obviously looking at individual stadiums is pretty interesting, but when you looked at even the year before the pandemic, road teams were 140 and 106 and 10 against the spread.
Wow.
They were also 120, 125, 135 and 1 straight up. Wow. So it's just like home field advantage is, I mean, it's nothing now. Like, it's, I mean, it's shocking. I mean, but it's not surprising based on, you know, all the officiating factors and the travel factors that we've seen.
Yeah. And I think it makes sense too with these, you know, so many stadiums now are these giant sprawling stadiums. And, you know, when you read like Scorecasting, some of these other books that have really studied home field over the years, you find that what the real home field advantage is that the crowd noise and the weighing on the officials to get the calls in the right way. And I think now like the ticket prices have gone up and like the game experience has driven away, I think, some of those diehard fans because they can't afford the tickets. They're not sitting quite as close anymore. Just the entire experience is a little bit it's different. It's changed over the years. And I think that that's taking away some of that advantage there. So I'm sure that's a thing that we will keep talking about throughout the year. A couple of the other line changes here, just to note, the New England and Miami game has moved in both cases. The total is dropping from 45.5 down to 43.5. The line is increasing, and that's interesting, with Mac Jones playing now. So that has gone from -1 to -3 right now at MGM, still 2.5 at some books. So what do you make of either of those line swings on that one?
I mean, a lot of people are down on Miami this year. I mean, obviously they had that huge turnover differential where it felt like every single week they were scoring touchdowns just based on turnovers. So I think, I mean, there's some sharp money on New England on the over and to make the playoffs. So I think, you know, some of that has a lot to do with New England. We just got some news today. The Dolphins left tackle Austin Jackson is on a COVID reserve list, and he looked pretty rough, to say the least. But now you have his backup going against Josh Uche. It's tough to feel great about this offensive line against this revamped Patriots defense. And then I think when you have a rookie quarterback, it's obvious to see why this total has dropped down from 45.5 to 43.5. And I think the Patriots defense, I mean, they've proven it. They're going to be tough this season. So a lot of us aren't really high on Tua, and it remains to be seen if he's really the franchise quarterback that they hope he can be. So I understand why this total is dropping down. As far as grabbing it before it hits the three, I think the line's pretty like spot on. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that both of those lines move together, because I think what the books are telling us is that the Patriots are going to win by 2 more points than we said before, but the game is going to be 2 less points than overall. So I think it's actually not necessarily that Mac Jones has moved the line. I think it's that Miami is dropping a little bit, that they're taking those 2 points off of Miami's total. And that makes sense, because the Dolphins already don't have a stable offensive line. That's already not an area of strength for the team. And so if you take away Austin Jackson on top of that, and there's just not a lot of blocking there. And yeah, I like New England's defense. They have revamped things. This is not last year's team. That was one of those defenses that lost a lot to COVID. And so they've got some names back this year. I think they're going to be a lot better. So to me, I do like this one a lot. I'm writing about this game this week at Action Network. And I will be looking to grab New England if I can. If I find it at 2.5 somewhere, or if it drops back down, I definitely want to get that before the hook, because I think it's a nice spot for the Patriots against a team that both you and I just really don't believe in Miami. So I think that's one to watch. Do you have any other line movements to note before we move on here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the big one is the Broncos -1 to Broncos 2.5 -3. I think that's a huge one, because I think that's one that we both agree on. We've spoke about how we like the Broncos this year. I mean, they're getting guys back from injury. I mean, they don't have to deal with Drew Lock throwing 16 touchdowns to 15 interceptions this year. So I think you have a solid Broncos defense, even though they're on the road, they're facing a Giants team that really doesn't have a good offensive line. So I agree with that line move. I think the other one is, this was a pick that I've been giving out on radio shows all over, Jets Panthers over 43.5. It's up to 45.5. I've mentioned how much I like Zach Wilson and this Jets offense. And I think Matt Rhule and the Panthers have proven that they're going to have a decent offense, even with Sam Darnold. The other line move that I don't agree with is the Chargers pick them to Chargers -1. I like the Washington football team. I think they're going to win that game outright. I also think that's a line that you want to add in 6-point teasers, Stanford Wong teasers. You get a chance, read the book, Stanford Wong, Sharp Sports Betting. They're catching one right now. You definitely want to tease that through the key number of 7, and you want to take that. So I disagree with that line move.
Yeah, so that's another spot where watching for that number is really important, because, you know, that's such a good insight, because at a pick-em versus a -1, I was like, well, it's not even that much of a swing. But when you get to that key number on a teaser, and now suddenly you can get out on a touchdown at -7, rather than at 6 before, 6.5, that's a big difference there. It gives you a lot of extra protection. So that is definitely a good one to watch. All right, Raheem, that is enough with our week 1 lines already, because you know what? I can't wait for week 2. We promise you something that you won't find anywhere else on this podcast. And that brings us to our next segment that we're going to call the hot read. So as bettors, it is important that we're always trying to stay a step ahead of the public. So that's what we're trying to do with the hot read. While everyone else is looking at what's right in front of them, we are trying to take the longer view here. So normally when we are with you on Monday mornings, that means that we will be already betting on next Sunday's games. While everyone else is still thinking about the day before and all the bad beats that they're still crying about into their coffee, we're looking to make some money on the next week. So today we're taking it a step further. Everyone's excited for week one. We've been analyzing these matchups for months already. We're going to skip over week one and go right ahead to week two. Raheem, tell the people why bettors love NFL week two.
I mean, I wouldn't say the bettors love NFL week two. I think the bookmakers love NFL week two because it's the week where everybody overreacts to the first thing that they saw all year in week one. I mean, it's overreaction week. It's one of the most, if you're a professional bettor or you're a sports book, it's one of the most profitable weeks for you. So we're going to try to break down the lines that we like in advance.
Yeah. So if you look around, you can find lines for week two. You can already be playing these games, even though the lines are definitely going to shift a lot because we're about to get a bunch of new data on these teams. So we just wanted to run through today a few lines that we are already playing for week two. We're going to win you some week two money before we even start the season. So let's start with one that both of us love. That is Denver at Jacksonville. Right now, Denver is a 2.5-point favorite, and both of us are all over that one. So here's what I think about that game. I think Denver is going to beat the Giants this weekend. The Giants aren't very good. Denver has what looks like maybe the best defense in football. The Jaguars, not loving them. The Jaguars have every chance to lose to the Houston Texans this weekend. They're on the road in Houston. They're playing against who Tyrod Taylor is the better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence right now while he's healthy, and he's healthy for this one. And I got to say, if Houston beats Jacksonville, Jacksonville is just going to drop out and this number is going to go up. We're at 2.5. So that's going to cross that key number right away. I love Denver on this one. Do you like it too?
Oh, I absolutely love it. I mean, we spoke about the Denver defense so many times. I mean, this Jacksonville team, I truly believe that Urban Meyer is in over his head. And against, a solid defense with Denver, a rookie quarterback is not really going to be able to handle that. So I think at 2.5, you're getting a bargain.
Yeah, so my other next favorite play here, I'm going to go another one because it's very similar. So we had Buffalo at Miami. Very same sort of thing. Buffalo is a 2.5-point favorite. And again, I like the Bills here, and I want to grab them before that line moves. We talked about Miami. I'm not in on Miami. I don't think they're going to be good. I think that they could lose and not even look very competitive, maybe against the Patriots. The Bills are facing the Steelers, a team that I don't think is that good, but I think the public thinks is good. And the Bills are a team that could run up the score a little bit, maybe on what's considered a vaunted defense. And if they do, I could see us coming out of this week and everyone saying, man, the Bills might be the team to beat in the AFC. We got to boost this number a little bit. So similar logic there. I like the road team Buffalo before that line moves past 3 as well. What do you think about that one?
Oh, yeah, I definitely like that. I mean, Buffalo is supposed to be the cream of the crop in the AFC. And we're both down on Miami, especially with their turnover differential last year. So I agree with that one.
All right. Well, give me a couple you like from week two.
I mean, the first one that jumps out to me is Green Bay minus 10 at home against Detroit on Monday Night Football. I mean, this is grossly mispriced. I mean, we've spoken all offseason that there's going to be two really, really bad teams in the NFL this year. It's the Houston Texans and the Detroit Lions. I think this line is short. I think we could see this going up to about 13 points or so. So at 10, I think you grab that now. And you have a bargain. The other one that really, really stands out to me is the Cowboys Chargers over 50.5. I make this line 55.5. Ironically, both of these teams are playing teams that are great defenses in week one. I mean, you got the Cowboys headed up against the Bucs first week of Dak's return. And then you have the Chargers playing the Washington football team, who has one of the better offensive lines. I think this line is way too high. That's a shootout waiting to happen. I think the other one that I think we both agreed on was the Rams and the Colts. I think the Colts, I mean, we mentioned the Colts problems earlier on, but I think the Colts can really, you know, go into this season. It wouldn't surprise me if they start off 0-5. So laying at 2.5 is good there.
Yeah, I definitely like that one. The other one I'm looking to grab, if for no other reason than just to get a little action and some reason to actually want to watch this game, I think we're going to get a Thursday night stinker right out of the gates. We love our Thursday night stinkers. We got the New York Giants traveling to Washington, and I just don't think we're going to see much scoring in that one. You can get that one, the under at 46.5, I'm seeing it some places. And I think this is a game that could end up being like, I don't know, like 17-14 or something. Like, I think touchdowns are going to be very hard to come by here. Washington's defense is very good. The Giants definitely are not an offense that I trust, but I do like the defense. I like what's happening there. I just think that we're not going to get a lot of scoring. This is right out of the gates. You get a first game and then 3 days off and immediately you got to go again. No time to learn, no time to adjust. All those early things that you have figured out from the first game. I just feel like it's going to be one of those games that, you know, halfway through the third quarter, it's like 9-6 and everyone's tweeting of like, oh my God, why do they put the worst games every time on Thursday? I just feel like that has that written all over it. What do you think of that one?
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, the Giants have a solid defense. They don't have a great offensive line. So I'm not mad at that at all. And then the Washington football team, their defense is going to dominate. So yeah. They have one of the best front sevens in the league.
So the other hot reads that I'm looking to make, you can't actually play these yet, but I want to be ready and I want you to be ready to play them. So two angles here. The first angle is this: the Jaguars and the Texans play each other. And that means one of them has to win. And this might be maybe, you know, one of the most winnable games both of these teams are going to face all season. We have said plenty about both of these trash can rosters of teams. They're not good, but the AFC South is also not good. We don't believe in the Colts. We don't believe in the Titans. Somebody has to win the division. So here's my angle. Someone has to win Jacksonville and Houston. That means that the other team lost to Jacksonville or Houston. And that is going to make people just sour on them in a hurry. I'm looking to take a little nibble, just a little taste. Whoever loses that game, give me the division odds. Just give me a long number. They're 0-1. They just lost to a team that everyone thinks is one of the worst in the league. Just give me a little nibble to see what happens in that division, because I don't trust anyone else. And I'm not that daunted by a loss, because there's going to be a lot of losses in that division this year. So that's one future that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. And I'm really just going to have to take a blind shot there, because I'm not going to feel good about either one of those teams there. It's not a bet on them. It's a bet against the AFC South. The one that I do like, that I will feel good about, I think, the Chiefs and the Browns. I talked about that one earlier. Part of why I'm not looking to bet either of them for the Super Bowl too heavily yet is because one of them is about to lose in week one. And inevitably, their odds are going to drop a little bit. Cleveland especially, we're going to come back to that. This might be a Browns podcast this year. But if Cleveland doesn't win that one, and the Browns have a rough week one history, let's be fair, they have a rough everything history. But week one especially has not treated them well. And if they come out and just lay a stinker and just look terrible, those odds are going to bottom out. And I don't really care about week one. I don't care if you're going to lose that game. We're playing the long game here. One of those teams is going to lose a perfectly fine loss. It probably the best loss they'll have all season. And I want to play the Super Bowl odds. I want to see what happens. Someone's going to overreact to that line and we're going to get a good price on that. So those are the two futures that I'm already like, I'm waiting for the line to reopen again once we get past that. So what do you think about either one of those future plays?
I'm not mad at, I mean, for me, I think that it's tough because I'm one of those people to where I'll try to actually predict what's going to happen before I make my future bet. So I kind of think the Browns are live dogs. So I kind of want to get them. I kind of want to get some in on them right now, because if they win, you're never going to see any value in the Browns at all for the rest of the season.
Sure.
So I think you want to put in, you know, a small bet on the Browns now. And then if they lose, you add more. So because it's just all it takes is one event to change everything. So I do think you want to be cognizant of that. But I do think you have a valid point. You know, you're playing the loser in one of those games because I think those are probably two of the best teams in the AFC.
Yeah, I think so. And we're going to talk more about the Browns in our last segment today. So
this is Action Network podcast producer Matt Mitchell here to tell you our friends at BetMGM have a great new sign-up offer for our listeners, a $600 risk-free first bet. Here's how it works. If you don't already have an account at BetMGM, just sign up, make your first deposit, and place that initial wager. If the bet wins, you get all the money. If it doesn't win, BetMGM will refund you in free bets up to $600. It's that simple. Just click on the link in this episode description to get started. BetMGM has been a great podcast partner, and they've got all the features gamblers like us love, like live betting and daily odds boosts. Plus, they're compatible with BetSync, so when you place a wager at BetMGM, that bet can automatically be tracked in your Action app. So open an account today and make your first bet risk-free up to $600. Just click on the link in this episode description to get started. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Michigan, New Jersey, Colorado, Indiana, West Virginia, Iowa, Virginia, Tennessee, Nevada, or Pennsylvania. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan, 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, or 1-888-532-3500 in Virginia. BetSync not available in Nevada. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
Let's wrap up by introducing another segment that we're usually going to be doing this one on Fridays. So this one is called Plus Money. So each Friday, Raheem and I are going to try to look at the board for some underdogs, some long shots, some teams at plus juice, and try to get the best of the number for you. So today is a special Plus Money Futures edition. So here's what we're going to do. Each one of us gets $1,000 to play with, and we're betting NFL futures. So we're going to use this just to cast our lot on a few different plays here, set the table heading into the new season. So we're not going to go long on cases here. We've talked about almost all the stuff on our podcasts, on the articles. So check the app, you know, make sure to get that and follow up on anything you want to hear more on. But let's start out with the one at the top, because here we are right back again with the Browns. Raheem, who are you betting to win the Super Bowl this season? And how much of your $1,000 are you going to put on this?
Okay, I'm going to take two different teams to win the Super Bowl. First things first, I'm taking the Browns. They have everything you need. I've already explained my love for Kevin Stefanski. They had some really bad luck on defense. They lost a lot of their corners. They got everybody healthy this year. They've improved the defensive line. We've spoken before about how they had bad luck, couldn't throw the ball in the wind against Las Vegas, Houston, and Philadelphia. The offense should be better. I think this is a Super Bowl winning team. So I'm putting 200 on the Browns at plus 1600. The other 200 is going to go on the Packers. I wasn't that high on the Packers. I think I mentioned they've overperformed their Pythagorean expectation two seasons in a row. But one of the things that stands out to me is when I'm looking for a Super Bowl pick, I want a team that's going to dominate the division. You look at the New England Patriots. They were a great team with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, but one of the things that gave them an advantage was that they were playing the AFC East, and the AFC East might have been trash for 15 years straight. And I think that's what you have going on with the NFC North right now. They're clearly the cream of the crop. I mean, the Bears and the Lions are just laughing stocks at this point. And while I am higher on the Vikings this year, I still think the Packers have an advantage over them. And the big thing is that there's only one number one seed and one bye in each conference this year. And if you dominate your division, that puts you on path to getting that first round bye. So I have 200 on the Packers to win a Super Bowl, but I also have 100 on the Packers to win the number one seed in the NFC. I think you have similar sentiment.
Yeah. So the Packers, that's at 550 to get the one seed. So you got the kind of the double down on Green Bay. And you know, I like the double down, because if the Packers get the one seed, you get that bye, you get the home games in Lambeau, you're set up to get the Packers into the Super Bowl and get their chances there too. So yeah, for me, I also like the Packers. I'm not going in quite on the Super Bowl. My Packers play is Green Bay to win the most games in the NFL this season at plus 2,200. Similar argument. The Packers are 13-3 each of the last 2 years. We know that they're outperforming expectations, but we know that they keep doing it. And it, the only real way that we've seen the NFL to continually outperform is with an elite quarterback. And that's what they have in Aaron Rodgers. So Rodgers is very good. I think the defense is a little bit underrated. They have a good player at all the key positions on the field. So I like the Packers there. 22-1 is just too long of a number to me. That number just leaps off the board. So I'm $100 on that one. My Super Bowl pick, I am not loving a lot of the value on the Super Bowl numbers right now, in part because some of the teams that I do like have a rough schedule early. So I think that it's more of a wait and see. I've eyeballed Dallas a little bit at 35-1, but Dallas is at Tampa Bay in week one. I don't think they're going to win. So why play Dallas now when I can probably get a better number after? My pick that I am going to play is Cleveland. We talked about Cleveland. We're both on the Browns this year. I'm only going to put $100 on it, 16-1, because I think I can go back and play again if they do lose that first week in Kansas City. But I like the Browns. I think that Baker Mayfield is ready to take another step forward in that system. I'm not a huge Baker believer, but I am a Baker believer with Stefanski and with that line and the run game and receivers. And I like the defense. And I think that I wouldn't be too shocked to see Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney and some of these guys rough up that new Chiefs offensive line that doesn't really, he hasn't played together. It hasn't been tested like this. So I think, to me, if you like the Browns, and we do, I think that that defense has to be the reason. We know what the offense can do, but I think if the defense makes a similar leap to what the offense did last year, that this is a team that really could go all the way. So I'm in for $100. The one where I am going to play a lot on is my MVP pick. This is my biggest play on my board. I think that Tom Brady to win MVP at 14-1 is the best play on the board. Any future, I'm going $400. Almost half of my bankroll is going on Tom Brady. Old man Brady. Here's the case. We said it before. The media loves Tom Brady. The media wants to give Tom Brady another MVP. He only has three so far. And Peyton Manning has five. There's a bunch of guys with three and Peyton with five. Tom needs to close the gap a little bit. And I think he's going to have a huge statistical season. Those receivers and the weapons he has in Tampa Bay, there's just so much out there. I think Antonio Brown is going to have a big season. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you know, Gronkowski and OJ Howard. There's so much there. And I think Brady could be a real threat to put up something like 5,000 yards. I think you could go easily over 40 touchdowns, maybe approaching 50. I think that there's an MVP number there. Even if he doesn't get the numbers, I think the Bucs are going to be the one or the two seed. They're going to be right near the top in that race, which is very important for this one. They're going to win a lot. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL somehow. Tom does it again. He always gets the easy schedule. I don't know what he's doing. I just think all signs go on it. He would be my favorite personally to win the MVP. I think 14-1 is ludicrous. So 400 of my $1,000 on 14-1. And I thank the books for, you know, a down payment on my next big investment in January when this one pays off. Who you got for your MVP?
For my MVP, I'm going with Russell Wilson. Through the first eight games of the season last year, I mean, this guy, he was clearly the MVP favorite. I think Pete Carroll, he took the offense and he brought it to another place and he kind of killed it. But I think Russell Wilson came into the season and he complained. What did he say? He said, you guys are not protecting me. And then you guys aren't letting me play the offense that I'm supposed to be playing. Let Russ Cook has become a thing. I mean, this guy has weapons. I mean, he has Metcalf. He has Tyler Lockett. He has the rookie in Eskridge. They changed out the offensive coordinator to Shane Waldron with the Rams last season. I think Russell Wilson at plus 2,000, it's a bargain. I mean, at this point, there's no way that we're going to get through halfway through the season and the Seahawks are, you know, relatively successful. And we're not see this number drop. So I'm going to take Russell Wilson here. I'm not sure how successful the Seahawks would be, but if they're going to be successful, it's going to be because of him. So I got to take it. I'm putting $100 on.
Yeah, I like that. The thing about Seattle is I don't know if I trust Seattle as much as I trust Russell Wilson. So that's, I'm a little hesitant there, but if Russ is cooking all year, that could be good. All right. So I think you're up to $600. So what are some other team plays that you have to start filling out the rest of your thousand?
Okay. So I have the Washington football team to win the NFC East. I've mentioned all year about how I love this team. Back in March, we had an article on taking the over on the Washington football team. I mentioned I like the Washington football team +1, and I like them on 6-point teasers this week against the Chargers. So we're riding the Washington football team. They got a solid front seven. They don't have the Dwayne Haskins or the corpse of Alex Smith. So they should win this division. I have the Colts to miss the playoffs. We spoke about the Colts earlier, all the issues on the offensive line, Carson Wentz. We spoke about Zach Wilson earlier. I'm taking him +700 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think the offense is going to roll. And then the last one is a wild card. I mean, there's some sharp money on this. One of the big bettors that I truly respect. He's hit, you know, a ton of future bets before. He's hit Lamar Jackson MVP his second year. He's got a guy by the name of Ed Teach on Twitter. I really respect this guy, so I'm going to trail him here. We're going with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, +3,300 to have the most rushing TDs. I mean, we talk a lot about Kansas City's prolific offense, but I think one of the things we don't realize is that if they're going to be at the goal line a lot and there's not a timeshare situation, there's no Darrell Williams, there's no Le'Veon Bell, and this guy was supposed to be the guy who, I mean, everybody was high on him last year in fantasy football. Everybody saw him as a guy who was going to come out and dominate. And he was a little bit disappointing last year. But this is his second year in the system. He didn't have training camp last year. We had COVID. They fixed the offensive line. You know, they try to run the ball a little bit more. And I think he's going to benefit from that. I mean, you got Joe Thuney and Orlando Brown. So I'm taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire, most rushing TDs, +3,300. Just a little flyer.
All right. I like it. I don't know if I've ever heard you bet a 33-1 before. So I'm not in on that one, but I like just hearing you take one of those long shots. It's music to my ears. So speaking of long shots, let me give you a few of them to fill out the rest of my plays here. My second highest play on the board out of my $1,000, I'm going to put $250, so a quarter of my money, on the AFC North to win the conference. So here's that bet to me. I think that there are four teams that could realistically win the AFC. It's the Chiefs and the Bills, who I don't believe in. It's the Browns and the Ravens, who I do believe in. So this is me betting on Cleveland or Baltimore to get out of the AFC. I think Josh Allen is a very prime regression candidate, and I don't love the Bills as a Super Bowl roster around them. So that's not even necessarily, like, to me, that's clearly the fourth of those four teams. So this is a bet on the Browns and the Ravens, and it's a chance for me to fade the Chiefs. That's just the position I've talked about with these three teams all year. And so I like that. That's at +260. So $250 on that. I'm going to take a long shot, another chance to fade the Chiefs. I'm going to take the Denver Broncos to go worst to first in their division at +900. Shouts to Matt Moore. I got a Denver Broncos long shot in here for him. So I wrote a whole article talking about the worst to first division teams. I think Denver has a shot to do it. So I'll put $100 on that. And then I've got 100 left, and I'm going to go 25 each on four season leaders. I wrote articles all last week on each season leader stats, so you can read more about these there. I'm going to take Aaron Jones at 20-1 rushing touchdowns. I'm going to take Antonio Brown. Yes, Antonio Brown, 66-1 for receiving touchdowns. And then Justin Jefferson for receiving yards at 14-1. Keenan Allen for receptions at 17-1. So $25 each on each of those guys. That is our $1,000 plus money. Raheem, we gave everyone a bunch of picks. Can you put it all together? Give us your rundown of where your dollars are going.
Okay, my rundown is we got 200 on the Browns Super Bowl, 200 on the Packers Super Bowl. We got 100 on Russell Wilson, the MVP. We got the 100 on the Packers to win the number one seed. We have 100 on the Washington football team to win the NFC East, 100 on the Colts to miss the playoffs, 100 on Zach Wilson, Offensive Rookie of the Year, and 100 on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, most rushing touchdowns. That's it. I think my biggest long shot is obviously Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And, you know, hopefully we make you guys some cash this year. I know you guys, I want a Bentley, so hopefully we can all, you know, get luxury cars at the end of the season.
Well, if you want a luxury car, I say play Tom Brady for MVP. That's my big one. 400 of my $1,000 on Tom Brady at 14-1. $100 on the Browns to win the Super Bowl. Raheem and I are both in on that one. 250 on the AFC North to win the AFC Conference. $100 on Green Bay to lead the NFL in wins. 50 on Denver to win the division. I think it said 100 a bit ago, but 50 on that. and then 25 each on those Aaron Jones, Antonio Brown, Justin Jefferson, and Keenan Allen season leader props. So that is going to wrap it up today at the Action Network podcast. Don't forget to check out everything else on our feed and all the articles in the award-winning app to get you ready for the season. Wednesday, right here on the Action Network podcast, Stucky and Raybon are back with their NFL betting guide and six-pack. Raheem and I are back Friday for a quick run through the slate into the weekend. And then first thing Monday morning, we're back again to talk Monday Night Football and all the betting action from Sunday Week 1. And of course, our hot reads as we start to make money on that next week ahead. As always, please rate, subscribe, and review. For Raheem Palmer, I'm Brandon Anderson, and this has been the Action Network Podcast. Football is back, baby. Let's watch some games.